Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we are reading the conclusion of the Tower of Babel JLL Comics parts 3 and 4. Let's go. Drew's trying not to sneeze.
All right, it went away.
We need one of those soundboards with all the ridiculous hip-hop sounds.
Okay.
Somebody buy us one of those.
Contribute to our Patreon and we'll get one.
Yeah. We're recording because we got to find out what happens at the end of this story.
Yeah.
We just couldn't stop.
We couldn't stop.
We couldn't stop.
When we last left our heroes, but I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. Hey, Alex, what you been reading, yo?
Oh, you know, some comics.
All right, and moving on.
I have actually taken some time to read a couple of the Iron Man books, the Christopher Cantwell stuff, because it had been a minute, so I went to refresh myself, and I'm glad I did because I had forgotten several things. You know, most comics are like 25 pages-ish. They average something like that. It is amazing how quickly you can forget just what happened after you read something a couple days ago. Doesn't take that long. So refreshed on those in anticipation of being able to actually finish, not finish, but get close to finishing that run. And then went through and reread a lot of the Strange Adventures books because I just can't get enough. Tom King, man, he knows how to write a story. And Mitch Gerard's, and in this run, Doc Shaner as well, they just know how to draw. For me, I feel like this series was written for me.
Oh, okay.
Very nice of them to do such things.
Very nice.
But beyond that, not much. I think I've read a couple more X-Men books. I'm trying to decide if they're all worth, like, if do they all deserve the completion run?
Yeah.
Maybe not all of them do. I need to figure that out. What about you? What you been reading, yo?
Like we said in the last What You Been Reading, Yo special, I've been spending some more time with Animal Man and Doom Patrol from 88 and 87. Animal Man's cool, like enough so that I think it might be worth covering on either this show or one of our Patreon spinoff specials.
Yeah. I don't know. Literally nothing about that character.
I didn't either until I read this. Like I said, DJ recommended it, and I read it, and I enjoy it. It's different. Like, it definitely does have some of those dated moments.
Is he like a Beast Boy? Like, he can turn into different animals?
Not physically. He just gets their powers. So he always looks like himself.
Gotcha.
But, like, he'll look at a bird and connect with it, and somehow he can just fly.
Nice.
So I've been reading that and Doom Patrol. I'm only like five or six issues into each of those series, but that's what I've been reading.
You know? I have a question about Animal Man. If he were to look at a hippopotamus, could he suddenly eat a watermelon in like 3 bites?
Well, I'm still getting to know it, but like what they always say, like he's able to embody their special power.
Ah.
So like what was it? He looked at a rhino and got like super strength.
Interesting.
So it's not like a direct.
I'd prefer if it were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see him eat a watermelon with the quickness.
I mean, he looked at this. He was fighting against this guy who could take two creatures and morph them together.
Yeah.
And he would look at that creature and he was able to take that morphed creature's thing. And at one point he actually took the guy who he was fighting's power, because he is an animal, he's a man.
He started morphing things.
Yeah. So
interesting.
It seems like he has no end to his power. It makes me wonder if he were to look at Superman, would he be able to take that? I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. Because like I said, I've read like 5 books.
Right.
He's basically Rogue, but
yeah.
Just from a psychic connection.
And you're enjoying Doom Patrol.
Yeah. I've actually been enjoying Animal Man a little bit more than the Doom Patrol just yet, because it seems like I'm jumping into Animal Man at a really good time. Doom Patrol is still a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it seems like on an average night, I'll read two Animal Man and only one Doom Patrol.
Right.
So I'm working through it. I haven't made it. That's, like I said, it's the Grant Morrison Animal Man, and I'm working myself to the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol. Right. Haven't gotten there yet.
Cool. Before we jump into Tower of Babel and concluding this story, we want to take a second to let you know where you can find us on social media if you want to reach out. Drew, where can they find the two-man accounts?
You can find us at Two Man Comic Book on Twitter with the number two man Comic Book Club on Instagram and Facebook. Give us a call. Let us know what you've been reading, yo, yes, to the two-man hotline, 662-MAN-FAN-8. Join our Discord so you can talk directly to us. Links in the show notes. Drop by YouTube. Look up Two Man Comic Book Club. You can find our videos. Hopefully we have some more special projects coming soon via that.
Yeah, make sure you like and subscribe those videos as well. That really goes a long way to helping the YouTube algorithm help others find us.
And of course, obviously, wherever you're listening, if you're listening to a podcast, it'd mean a lot if you left us a review.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's goes a big long way. If you do leave a 5-star review and we can find it and read it, we will leave it, read it on the podcast and give you a shout out. Mm-hmm. Also, we've started a Patreon and we have a bunch of really cool tiers that you can check out in the links below. If you want to support us, which we'd be eternally grateful for, it really goes a long way to helping us expand upon the content that we already put out. It's super cool. If you'd like to find me, you can find me at Alex Wayne Miller on all social media accounts. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, who apparently could wreck the JLA if he put his mind to it.
Bum, bum, bum.
What about yourself?
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer elsewhere.
Stick around to the end of this podcast. We have an announcement about something pretty friggin' cool that you're going to want to hear about if you enjoy this content.
Yes.
Anyway, going into Tower of Babel Part 3, creative team, same as it has been, Mark Waid on the story, Howard Porter on pencils, Drew Garassi on inks, Ken Lopez on letters. I don't know if he did the letters before. And then John Caliz on colors. I think this is mostly the same team. There might be a couple that have changed up there, but I just read them all. So there's also a special thanks in this issue to Xander Cannon. Drew, what's happening in part three?
So to do a quick, I mean, if you didn't listen to the last one, you should.
By the way, the cover of this has more of that stupid Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
I hate the faces sometimes in these books. The art can be good, but sometimes it can be bad.
Yeah. All right, so to catch you up, basically, Ra's al Ghul has constructed a Tower of Babel that makes it to where everybody on Earth has this sine wave zapping through them. Or wait, do we know that yet? Did that come from the last one? And sorry, I just had a brain fart.
It's actually about to happen.
Okay.
In a couple pages.
Sorry. Spoiler. Well, there was a he made it to where nobody can read anything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, he basically made everybody dyslexic to the nines.
And so nobody can communicate. And all at the same time, he has distracted and incapacitated basically all of the Justice League.
Yeah.
So I won't go any further than that. That's the idea.
I'm just trying not to laugh at my ridiculous expression of dyslexic to the nines.
Yeah. So we jump in, and Batman has just made it out, and he is yelling into his communicator, Superman, Aquaman, I did this. Listen to me. It's Ra's al Ghul. He raided my secret files and protocols. You're all in terrible danger, but I can get you out. And at that exact moment, Ra's al Ghul advances his thing to phase two.
Yep.
And he's talking to Aquaman, talking through everybody. He's like, you'll have to, and then not only is everything they read gibberish, they can't understand what anybody says anymore. Yeah. And everybody's just like saying things, yelling at each other. And, you know, we can read what people are saying whenever they're talking, but like they can't hear him. So like Batman's like, language, he has stolen language.
Right. Yeah. You see Aquaman trying to hear something and mm-hmm. you just hear the, what Batman's saying. It says, you'll have to ruin Nakavala. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just in mid-sentence cut off because he's flipped the switch.
Yeah. And back on the, in the pursuit of Batman and the League of Assassins, he jumps off of this cliff and they're like, wow, nobody could, just like in classic movie superhero thing, nobody could have survived that. Well, I guess we're done. Let's go back to base.
Yeah. Low hanging fruit, I suppose.
Yeah. And
we get a little wink of him hanging yeah. on.
So we see in the JLL headquarters, Aquaman is just trying to force out. He's like, Superman. Oh, because he can still hear. He's up there. It's right. like, Superman, hang on, activating the teleporters. And at that point, Plastic Man has kind of come back to his own. Yeah. I think it's interesting. They have his, all of his speech bubbles have these cracks.
Why? I didn't catch onto this. Why is Aquaman? Oh, it's because he hasn't had water still, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so he's like passing out mm-hmm. as he's activating these teleporter and Plastic Man captures mm-hmm. him. Yeah.
Okay. And
that makes sense.
As this is happening, John Jones like telepathically links with Aquaman, making him think mm-hmm. that he's in a desert all the way away from all this water, so he's safe.
Right.
But he's stuck him in one of those Star Wars back to tanks yeah. to heal him. And also, like, we realize that all the JLA seem to have been transported to headquarters up in mm-hmm. space, out of the reach of the tower. Plastic Man is like reaching in and removing the thing from Diana's ear that had the VR.
Right.
And Superman's still having a hard time, but he is able to hold himself together enough to use his laser vision. Like we had talked about, it's like multi-purpose laser vision to zap the thing that was in the back of Flash's neck.
Yep, and, on his spine.
Yep, and then John Jones talks with the blind Green Lantern saying, you know, this ring works on willpower. So I think that you have just convinced yourself you're blind. So if you put on your ring and convince yourself you can see, it yeah. should work. And I'm like, how convenient. It kind of works.
Specifically, he says, like, my mind scan indicates post-hypnotic suggestion
yeah.
whispered during REM sleep. So yeah. Batman has, I had a mental picture here.
Yeah.
Batman is like going to Kyle Rayner while he's sleeping and whispering sweet nothings into basically saying,
but in this case, it wouldn't have been Batman.
Oh, right. Sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
Batman would have, though,
yes.
if it had come to that. But imagine Batman whispering, yeah.
Because this,
it's Kyle Rayner's.
This is one thing. Like I didn't know this, but Kyle does make a comment. He's like, "Yeah, I never sleep with the ring on because I don't want my nightmares to be manifested."
Right.
So that's like somebody slipped the ring on him and convinced him he was blind. I wonder if anybody
plays with that in a different comic.
They must.
Seems like a smart thing to do if you're writing Green Lantern yeah. comics.
And then a gripping scene for me.
Yeah.
I always like it when we see Superman's humanity, even though yeah. it's Kryptonian. But he's like. Still has this translucent skin, and he's sitting there just looking down at the world and seeing it just in pandemonium and listening, and he's just sad. But then we hear, like, oh, no, sorry, I'm ahead of myself. Basically, in the next couple pages, I'm not going to dig into it too much, but we find out that Talia and Roz are kind of having a falling out because Talia is, you know, understands, you know, certain you have to do certain things for power, but she feels like her dad, Roz, has... gone too far.
Basically, Drew saying Talia has daddy issues.
Yes, that's exactly it. And somebody comes up. I love this moment. One of the minions comes up and they're like, the detective, Batman, or whatever they call him, has gone. He fell off of the cliff. Nobody could survive. And they're like, did you see the body? He's like, no, go find him. And this dude walks off. And once he gets away, he takes off his helmet or his little mask. And it's Batman.
Yeah. He went and talked to them.
It was Batman all along.
Yeah.
So then we're back way upstairs.
In space.
And we finally hear from Batman. He's like, I'm on my way in the Batplane. We'll issue coordinates when I arrive. You know, basically, I have a way out of this. And they're all trying to figure out how we're going to do this. What if it's a trap? And before they can really do anything, Superman just zips out.
Yeah.
And a really... Oh, were you going
to
say something?
Well, just to expound upon that, like, they're kind of like falling into habit. Like, oh, Batman's telling us to meet and rendezvous at this point. And some of them start just running out the door like, yeah, let's go. And they're like, wait a minute. why would we trust this guy?
He just admitted that this is all because of him.
Yeah, all of these things were created and they took us out easy. How do we know we're not going into another trap? You know, obviously there've been some trust broken here.
I mean, then, even though it wasn't Batman that did it, you know, this has been Roz all along. It's everybody all along. But they're just like, this all came because Batman had this info on us.
Which makes them think he didn't trust them. You know, from the beginning. And then, like you said, with all the, I mean, he has like still a ton of power. Superman just yeets.
Basically what it is right now, he has all of his power. He's just in excruciating pain.
Right.
So.
Well, didn't they allude also that he was having trouble like controlling the a little bit, of power
because normally, you know, he gets his power from the yellow sun.
Right.
And normally it's to his skin, his epidermis, but because it's translucent, it's going through into his muscles and his bones. And
so he's like even stronger right
now. Yeah, like certain, there are certain comics that back whenever I started reading in the 90s where he would like get supercharged and like swell up.
Right.
So it's, I feel like it's kind of like that, but like it's inside him. The parts of his body who don't normally get the sun are getting supercharged.
Yeah. Yeah. So he does just zoom out of
there. He flies out of there and has a, we got this wicked scene. I feel like they had something like this in a movie recently. Maybe I'm making that up. Anyway, Superman has found the Batplane. He's intercepting it. He's just sitting there floating in the air with his cape flying. And he's just like not even moving. And Batman has to like veer out of his way. And Superman's just like, and he flies alongside. And they're basically just trying to explain. But they all meet up down at the base of the Tower of Babel. And conveniently, this is why though, the reason that the first person, after they got Bruce Wayne out of the way, they had to get out was Martian Manhunter, was because he can like telepathically link everybody together.
Yeah.
And that's just what he does. So even though they can't hear what people are saying, they can't read what people are saying, apparently their mental faculties are still enough that they can communicate telepathically.
Through John.
Yeah. And they make a plan.
They do also kind of like unspokenly decide to like put the Batman betraying everybody thing aside for now, to like, there's a problem that needs to be fixed.
Yeah. The world is, I think Batman even makes a comment like, we could deal with this, but the world is tearing itself apart.
Right.
So there's bigger problems. So they basically divide into three teams. Superman and Batman head after Roz. Because did I jump ahead? Oh, that'll come happen in a second. A couple of them, actually right here, they're still talking. I'm getting ahead of myself because, when did we find out that the deal with the second tower?
I mean, it starts going off and they're kind of fighting just some goons that are taking them off. And then this is where Superman just decides like, okay, everybody out.
Oh, they haven't destroyed the tower. Sorry.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay. I was thinking about what happens next. Sorry about that. I'm speaking in circles. So they're just at the tower and some people come up and a couple, like everybody that's not Superman and I think Flash, they're taking care of the people that are flying in and attacking them, and on land, Flash and Superman go in there while they're dealing with Justice League, the League of Assassins.
Yep.
And they're like, we just have to destroy this. And Superman's kind of building up. He's getting angry and he just tells Flash, get everyone out. And then we just see, another awesome Superman just blows everything up with his epic heat vision and then walks away from it slowly. If this was a movie, it would be one of those slow-mo walking away without looking at the explosion scenes.
Yeah, what's his name that does Transformers? Michael Bay.
Yeah.
This is a Michael Bay comic panel.
Did you ever watch My Spy on Netflix, or was it Amazon Prime? Amazon Prime.
I don't think so.
It had a... the guy from, he's really big right now. Babuda? No.
Batista?
David Batista. Dave Batista. He and this Drax. Old girl, he's like teaching her how to be a spy and all this stuff. And she said, I want to walk away from one of those explosions without looking at it. And in the trailer for it, like there's an explosion. They're walking away and she turns to look at it and he like grabs her head and like spins it back around. So they're just walking away. That's what I'm envisioning here. So anyway, they blow it up, and as they're sitting around talking, that's whenever, I just got a few pages ahead, Talia starts talking to them somehow, and she was like, look, you took out the tower, but that's not all. He has a backup plan. And as she's explaining what's happening, somebody comes up and basically shoots her.
Right. Because he walks in on her.
Yeah. And betraying them. She's saying, yeah, the tensions are very high between Rapistan and Turkey. Some of my father's minions have chemical weapons that are about to be deployed. The whole area is so unstable. It's gonna lead to a massive fallout.
Right.
And they're just, before, you know, she gets shot, somebody comes over, the one who shot, and she's like, yeah, you're going to pay. This isn't over yet. And then the issue ends.
Yeah, this again, this is the last time I'm going to mention it. This is a whole page of just derpy faces all over the place. Like, I don't know. When I think of, it's hard for me to think of a face like this when a superhero would make it, you know, even if they are surprised, like maybe caught off guard, but just flat out bewilderment in the derpiest possible way. I'll stop talking about it now because it's a 21-year-old problem that isn't ever going to be fixed. Anyway, so, end of that issue, on to another.
Do you want to go ahead and just take a break while we're here? Because I bet maybe we can do that.
Take a quick one. We'll be right back with the conclusion of Tower of Babel. And we're back with Tower of Babel Part 4, the conclusion of JLA Tower of Babel. I will note that there is a guest pencils for the final issue. Not often that they're like, the guy's been doing it, doesn't see it to the end. I will also note that those pencils resulted in the best drawn faces in this entire mini arc. While not perfect, they are markedly better, in my opinion. The art overall still got a similar flavor.
Yeah.
Doesn't take you out of it. Drew?
So
let's close this out.
Basically, I'll just say this real quick. Aquaman and Martian Manhunter are still kind of having issues, but they're doing their best. Martian Manhunter's doing the best he can. It seems like enough of the nanites are out of his system that he's able to be in air without bursting to flames.
Completely combusting, yeah.
And he jumps into the tank with Aquaman to try to help him.
I will note after he jumps out here, we get a Plastic Man yelling at Batman. Like, it finally cracks, like, the tension of, like, why did you do this? I feel the opposite about his face that I have the other ones. It's appropriate. Mm-hmm. I like seeing his powers implemented and him screaming. Like, it's completely contorted. Talk about, like, the mask jaw-dropping scream at Batman.
But before they can really get into it, Batman basically just says, we'll talk about that later. Because, like, we have to do this. And this is where I was getting ahead of myself a little bit. They split into three groups. Superman and Batman head after Ra's.
Right.
Well, two groups, actually. And the other ones zip off to try to get to the Turkey-Rapistan border. Flash is just running across the water. They're like, he'll get there before us, and maybe he'll find it. And he does. Whenever they get to the beach, he's sitting there perfectly still, it looks like, but he's actually shaking really fast because the canister of the bio contagent apparently was opened or ruptured, and he's doing that because he doesn't want anything to land on him.
Right.
Then we go to back to Superman and Batman, and they're having a little talk about, like, why he did it. Like, there was you remember,
yeah, you should read this.
Yeah, you remember Alien Tyrant I felt like there's periods everywhere on that. Oh, it was, you remember Alien Tyrant Agamemno gave a gang of criminals access to our bodies and powers a few years ago, nearly won the Earth. So basically he's saying, like, when that happened, I realized we need a contingency plan. And that's what this comes down to. So he figured out ways to sideline everybody and just to, you know, but then Ra's al Ghul found that and took advantage of it.
It was a first step of Batman's trying to justify his actions, and he knew his best friend Superman would be the first one he needed to talk to about this.
Yeah. So then eventually they do make it to Ra's, and they're about to, like, at the exact moment that Ra's tossed the dude that shot Talia into a tiger pit, or into a pit. I think there were some tigers down there. But then lions, sorry. And then he makes some comment. He's like, Roz, the alien, that's Superman. He has two weaknesses, one of which we share, an unyielding compassion for the animal kingdom. So basically he's like, he won't hurt these animals.
Right.
So they release these tigers and it looks like it's going to stall him or like stop him, but really it's just slowing him down. Then we cut back to the beach where Flash has run into the contagion and Green Forest has erected a protective sphere around it. And
did you just call him Green Forest?
I thought I said Green Lantern. Did I say Green Forest? That's weird.
Yeah, the town you used to teach in.
Yes, Green Lantern.
That's funny.
So while that's happening, Wonder Woman and Plastic Man head off to try to find the second one because there were two bio agents. And this guy's shooting, and this is an awesome moment. Just like in the Wonder Woman movie where somebody's shooting a machine gun and she uses her bracelet things to stop them all. And while that's happening, Plastic Man has like wrapped up this dude like he's a blanket and holding this weapon. It's hilarious.
Pinched fingers.
And she gets up there, runs up to the roof because she finds out that's where it was. And she gets the guy that has the canister with her lasso of truth and like goes like to fly and get him off because there's people up there that he's trying to hurt. And so
right before that, he like activates it. We hear a beep coming from it.
I feel like it's one of those, it's like a grenade where as soon as you let go, nothing's happened yet. There's still time to save.
It does say prime to open. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're back at Roz's thing with the Lazarus pit. We're back there and they've made it past the tigers. Right. Superman made a little cage for him. And
this is the first time that Supes actually realizes that Batman's parents were their corpses.
He's like, probably things are starting to fall, understanding why he wasn't around. So he's like, Superman's going to retrieve the coffins. Mm-hmm. That was a really good sentence I just said. and he goes to do it, but once he gets up to them, he realizes that there's a piece of red kryptonite up there and he kind of starts falling. And before much more can happen, like Superman, like the coffins start to fall.
Right.
Like, and Ra's al Ghul's hit the button and Superman can't do anything about it. But then this harpoon comes and it doesn't like skewer Superman. It wraps around him.
Right.
And we see that Aquaman is there and he has pulled him back. And then just in time, Martian Manhunter zips in and picks him up for out of the air and just flies off of him, the coffin. Yeah. And while this has all happened, Roz has managed to get away. But his doctor, the one who had come up with this whole plan and how to execute it, was still there. And they were able to get him. And basically, though Roz got away, which is a loss, they have the doctor in custody and the UN will take care of him and he will never see the light of day again. And
real quick, what did you think about Aquaman choking out this doctor? The art of Aquaman is unlike any other in this whole thing.
The black?
Yeah, he's like completely black. His skin, his clothes, except for his beard.
Yeah.
It feels really weird. It doesn't feel like shadow work to me. I almost wonder if they're just like, we don't have time. and they just kept going. But like maybe nowhere else in the panel or any, like I've gone through several of these while they're in this area and nothing else. Well, I guess there's one of Superman falling from a long distance.
Yeah.
I just got a hilarious text from Katie that I will not repeat in this podcast.
So anyway, we got all that. Meanwhile, we jump back and Wonder Woman has the dude with the canister hanging from the thing. And basically she has a moment with him like, look, do you really want to die? You know that Roz isn't going to, he doesn't even know who you are. You think you're dying for a cause, but really you're just dying. So the guy was like, okay, I guess I'm not ready to die. And he turns it and you can see it says inert. So they get it. And then next page, it's obviously a bit in the future because we're up on Watchtower in space.
Yeah, we've saved the day.
Yes.
I will say before you get into this Watchtower, did it feel a little kind of just like, and it's over? You know, like
yeah,
it did build up pretty strong. Like
yeah,
if I were making this movie or if I were writing this or if I was an editor, I think I would have played a little bit more in that world before it was resolved. Like it did feel very, especially knowing how it's going to resolve in a few yeah. minutes, like after this kind of meeting that they have, you know, making them wonder longer, like Batman was gone. Is he the one actually pulling these strings yeah. versus just suddenly he's there and he's trying to fix it? Or they have these strengths against the Justice League and they are kind of relatively just like they figured out really quickly. I don't know. I feel like for as massive of an event, maybe they didn't even intend for this event to be as big as it was. I also don't know if there's like a massive amount of tie-ins to this either that expound upon this. They're definitely not needed, I guess. But I don't know. It just felt a little bit like, oh, we're going to take out the Justice League using the brain of Batman, basically, and his wits.
I didn't feel that as much with this one because, in my opinion, Ra's al Ghul was never the threat. He was,
right.
But really, this was a story about Batman's quote-unquote betrayal. So, right. like, I just felt like this was building up to it, and the whole payoff was this moment. Yeah. So
and maybe
I,
it makes sense that, like, because Batman wasn't the one actually doing it, that it's not this, it wasn't realized to the fullest potential mm-hmm. that it could have been. I do believe that if Batman were at odds with JLA doing this, they would have had a much harder time getting out of it. He would yeah. have thought even further.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, as I was reading it, I was actually more, when it actually did end, I mm-hmm. had to turn, I pulled up the next comic to yeah. to read, and I didn't bother to read any. But, I don't know, I felt okay with it because I didn't care. Like, in my opinion, yeah, sure, there was a supervillain threatening the world. Like, right. happens every week.
Right.
But the real meat of this story was
that trust.
Yeah. So that's I thought I all the tension was building to this.
Yeah.
So they're standing around basically talking, arguing with each other about, all right, so Batman did this. There's no changing that. Do we trust him enough to let him continue to be a part of the Justice League?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we could go down and break down everybody's individual vote, but I'm just going to go ahead and say
it comes
down to 3-3 with the last vote being Superman. And, you know, instead of just talking to everybody, because this whole time, Batman's basically been in the room with the big table, you know, not listening to him, and everybody's been talking behind his back. And it's like Superman is like, well, if I'm going to make this vote, I'm going to go make it to his face. And he opens the door, and the room is just empty.
Right.
So Batman has basically answered for them. He was just like, look, you don't trust me. I don't belong here anymore. And if I do, it'll be because I have to earn my way back.
Right. And then the issue ends,
yep.
and Batman is no longer a part of the Justice League.
Yep.
Tower of Babel conclusion.
Though that was 20 years ago, so things have changed since then.
Yeah, I think he's come and gone several yeah. times since then.
I think that goes for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has moments where they're in and out and in and
right.
out.
Right, so. Yeah. Just maybe more on their own terms and not
yeah.
being forced. What'd you think about this whole one, Drew?
I mean, part of it was spoiled by the fact that you told me we should read this. This is about how Batman has this,
right.
has the weakness of everybody. So I knew it was happening. But the whole Ra's al Ghul, I thought it was interesting, the whole trying to paint him like a humanitarian.
Right.
That's the wrong word because he hates humans. He loves an earthitarian.
Right. They do with varying degrees of success, depending on how you portray or how you view everything, make you at least have some ability to sympathize with mm-hmm. him or empathize, just depending on, I guess, your own, how you read into it will work for you at varying levels. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Parts of it were a bit campy, you know. Mm-hmm. It was from 2000 and it reads right. like it.
You know, sometimes I think 2000, like 2000s, like right in that area, read almost more weirdly or campy than even some late 90s or mid 90s stuff do. I don't know what it is. For me, this was pretty good. The story has elements that for sure age better than others. Like, I would yeah. love to feel what this was like if it was written now.
Yeah.
The art took me out of it several yeah. times, mainly just faces.
Yeah. I will say, like, I feel like this is a good one because we haven't really covered a Justice League title, have we?
No.
I thought this was good. A short way to get, you know, we introduced some people. How many of you listening right now have never heard of Plastic Man?
Right.
You know, there's got to be a few.
Or even Kyle Rayner as Green Lantern.
Yeah, as Green Lantern.
Yep.
Maybe even Martian Manhunter. Some of you, if you didn't see the, if you haven't watched some various TV shows and movies recently,
right,
you might not know who he is. So anyway, it was a cool one. Part of me wants to see what happens after it, but man, the universe has been rebooted so many times. It's hard.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll have something to talk about one of those reboots shortly.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to get into some trivia?
Yeah. Do you have a faster than by any chance?
Nope.
All right. Welcome to the conclusion of the Tower of Babel lightning round trivia round, where the questions are faster than Superman blew up the Tower of Babel with his angry heat vision.
That was actually pretty quick.
Yeah.
It happened.
And slower than his dramatic walking away scene all at the same time.
I'm sorry. I just read another text from my wife, and I can't wait to tell Drew about it after we're done recording. Cool. Okay.
So we only recorded this last episode like 50 minutes ago.
Right.
I've already forgotten. Do you have 1 point and I have zero?
Correct.
Okay. So do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Yeah,
I'll tell you. Mine has the potential for up to 3 points.
Mine only has 1 point.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I wanted to know how, because I knew for sure Bruce was going to come back, right? Batman's going to come back. How did he come back? What were the circumstances at which he returns? So basically, if you can give me a general manner in which he returned, like how did he gain the trust back of everybody? Because that was the thing that was preventing him from returning.
Man, I really don't know. It's got to be something pretty big.
I feel like it is possible to answer this if you think about the ethos of Batman.
Okay.
And what would he do to, after betraying everyone, what can you do to trust somebody like that?
He bought everybody a fruit basket.
That does line up with the ethos of Batman for sure.
My only thought would have been, and this doesn't feel right because it would be too on the nose, mm-hmm. that very soon after, something happens and somebody's able to take over their bodies and he has to use the exact same thing that they just took to prove his point.
That's a great idea. I would read that in Tower of Babel number 2.
Yeah.
Like where, it's a good thing he had these.
Yeah.
But no, that is not quite it.
Okay.
But this is cool. So this is from a Reddit post, but it sounds pretty accurate. So somebody asked basically the same question, like, when did he come back? How did he come back? What happened? After Bruce's betrayal of the League stopped trusting each other, which hurt their ability to fight as a team, Superman talked to Bruce about this. So both Superman and Bruce then tricked the League to show up at the Batcave, and at which at that point, both Superman and Batman reveal their secret identities as an olive branch.
So the JLA didn't know who they were at that point?
They didn't know who Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne were.
Whoa!
So as a olive branch, as they put it here, they said, this is who I am. So in a way, they kind of like reveal a weakness for everybody else to exploit almost. Like now you know who Bruce Wayne is, who his family are. You know,
interesting.
So now the JLA knows, and that was enough of an act for them.
I'm shocked they didn't know already.
Okay. That's according to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I buy it.
Yeah.
But
nice twist.
You win. The question is, by how much?
Oh, yeah.
So you have 1 point. I've got zero. You could have.
No, you have 1 point. I have
zero. I have 1 point?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was the other way around.
No, I did not get your question.
Oh.
No, wait.
I can't remember.
Okay, my question was...
Oh, I did have a
Oracle.
Point. I said Barbara Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have a point.
All right. So you could still win.
I could win, because there's a potential for 3. You're for sure winning.
So I'm good at math and memory. So this is once again according to Screen Rant.
Uh-huh.
So I was going to ask Glimpse Behind the Curtain. I was going to say, all right, name some other Justice League members. And then I went through, looked at it, and basically he could
Everybody's
name anybody.
Been a Justice League member.
But I found a different one. So according to Screen Rant,
mm-hmm.
there were 10 original members.
Ooh.
the ones that we just saw, and a few more.
Okay.
So this is according to them, like the first members to be a part of the Justice League. So we had Martian Manhunter, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, Superman, Batman, and then there's three more. So you might notice that Plastic Man wasn't mentioned, but this is like the three that were three more that happened earliest.
Okay. Green Arrow.
Yeah. So we're tied.
Okay. That's the only one that like immediately came to my mind. I'm going to guess, let's see. One more and I have to stop, right?
If you get it right, you win. If you get it wrong, we tie.
We tie. Okay. Let me think. I'm looking at this picture here at this panel just to make sure I don't say anything. So I know Plastic Man was not an original.
According to Screen Rant, correct.
I'm pretty sure he was not. Was Red Tornado? No?
No.
Okay, my next guess was going to be Black Canary.
Yeah.
Was that? Really? Yeah. Dang, I should have gone with her first.
Yeah. Green Arrow, Adam. Oh, no, sorry, not Black Canary. I said that because...
Oh, Shazam.
She was in the picture. Huh. No, Adam and then Hawkman.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we tie.
Cool.
Didn't we tie? Wait, no. Hawkeye, did we? Because I remember we tied Mr. Miracle.
Right. Didn't you win Hawkeye or did I?
Somebody, I've already forgotten.
I don't know. So these are all more just for informative stuff anyway. We don't actually keep track. Cool. Any closing thoughts on that story?
No, but it felt good to dig into some DC.
Yes.
The classic DC of the classic heroes, which maybe started our wheels a-turning.
Yeah. So what? If you listen to last episode, you know that we went on a kind of an impromptu run to the comic shop. And then by the end of that venture, Drew and I more or less decided that we were going to start an additional podcast. Drew, tell them what that title for that podcast is called.
Well, if you're a longtime listener, you already know.
Yeah.
We've talked about the idea of... actually, Alex started it because he was wanting to get to know more DC.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought about... reading the entirety of the New 52.
Yeah.
And just off the cuff, during a recording, we realized it would rhyme if we had a segment called Alex and Drew Read the New 52.
Yeah. And then we realized that it would have to be much more than just a segment.
Because if it was a segment, it would have to be a long segment.
Yeah.
So we were just like,
<podcast. laughs>
what if it's just its own thing? And that's the whole point where... we start at the beginning with Justice League number one from 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're not exactly positive how we're going to work through it yet, but I've started compiling it and there's somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 or 10,000 comics because this spanned 4 years.
Yeah.
From 2011 through, or maybe 5 years. I can't remember. It's went from 2011 to like 2016 when Rebirth happened.
Yeah. It's a beefcake of a segment.
I mean, so. I've been making a pull list on DC Universe Unlimited or DC Universe Infinite.
Yeah.
And so far I'm only up to the beginning of 2015.
Right.
And there's already 99 series in our pull list. And some of them have...
That's not comics. That's individual series with running issues.
Some of them might have 6 to 10 issues, but a good number of them have 50 to 70 issues.
Right.
So there are a few podcasts out there that are kind of doing the same thing. So I'm going to spend some time with those and see how we can set ourselves apart a little bit.
Yeah, I have some ideas. And there are plenty. So My Marvelous Year is not the only podcast going through reading Marvel comics, you know. And honestly, I got some inspiration because they're doing a My Ultimate Year, which just covers the Ultimate Universe, which is kind of like a different flavor of what we're trying to do, just covering the New 52. So for those of you that don't know, the New 52 is when the DC company decided they're going to reboot everything.
Yeah.
So all new number ones, 52 of them.
We got origin stories.
Right.
Just because it's so hard to jump in sometimes. They wanted a definitive, all right, you're confused about what's going on with Justice League.
Yep.
So here's you can Justice start in 2011. One. Like, for instance, I think I said this on the comics or on the podcast once. I subscribed to Justice League, Action Comics, and Superman when the New 52 started, and I happened to get like the last couple issues before the reboot, and I opened up Justice League, and I didn't even know half the people in the Justice League. I'd never heard of them. Like, Bruce Wayne wasn't Batman, which I know happens from time to time. You know, things like that. And the last Action Comics I got was Lex Luthor being a hero or something like that. So I was just like, even so, me, a quote-unquote comic fan, had no idea what was going on.
I mean,
so
what's bound to happen, 60-plus years of comics, continuities all over the place. Now, the New 52 itself has even been rebooted to Rebirth after that. And then after that, there's been another one. So it's not exactly new anymore for them to wipe the, the slate clean and go at it again. But what can be said, I think, for better or for worse, it is kind of agreed upon that while it may not be like the just constantly firing on all cylinders, there are going to be jumping on points for characters that we can get familiar with and we'll have some sort of continuity moving forward, even if it hasn't been rebooted, not completely void of any context.
From what I understand, which I don't understand a lot, the latest rebooting, realigning, is making it to where even the New 52 is canon again somehow. So it's up until a year ago, it would have felt silly to maybe try to do this, but it feels less silly because everything is canon and not canon at the same time somehow, which I don't get, but maybe I will.
It's just allowing, as I get into it, like multiversal things to stick around.
Even deeper multiverse.
Sense. Right. Yeah. So if you enjoy the content on this podcast, there will be some similar flavors. I think we'll season some things in some similar ways, but also not. So like in Two-Man, we jump around from Big Two to Image to indie stuff in general. And we're going to have a little bit more of a structure path to follow down this and some cool things that'll lend itself to that. And I think you're all going to like it. The format might be a little bit different. It might be a little bit more of an aerial view and less blow by blow, play by play, because of just the sheer volume.
There's a guy who has a podcast right now who is literally going week by week as if it's release order.
Right.
And he was saying it's going to be 250 episodes. So I don't know that ours is going to be quite like that, but we want to, I mean, and there'll be maybe certain comics that we read and like, look, this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And maybe just give it, like mention it.
Like, this is what happened. We'll be like, this one happened. This is where Batman finally went on a date with Ra's al Ghul. I don't know. we'll figure those out as we get to them. There'll be some where we dive a little deeper and some where we just, again, hit surface level stuff. But again, just the goal of this is Alex and Drew read the New 52. Now Alex and Drew have some sort of context for all of these DC characters where I think in the past we've been guilty of just with the existence of the MCU and all of the Marvel media becoming more familiar with those characters. So we want to even the playing field a little bit and also just have an avenue for us to really jump into those characters and that story.
And the fact that everything's available on DC Universe Unlimited. I keep saying unlimited, infinite. like I said, I was so far I've added 99 things and I haven't found a single one that's not available.
Right.
So that's huge. Like if we had tried to do this 4 years ago, it would have been impossible. Well, expensive.
Yeah, for sure.
So
if you want to join us, get the DC Infinite app. We're going to be jumping. Everything we read should be on there. I mean, it's going to be, that's the main way that we're going to be able to do this podcast.
I will say that if this excites you and it's something you're like, man, I want to be all about this. If you really want to help make this happen and be good, it would mean a lot if you would join one of the Two-Man Patreon tiers because that money not only goes to help Two-Man, it just goes to help us make more content that we want to, whether it be video, audio, Two-Man, Anderton 52.
Yeah, that's
an
acronym.
Yeah, Alex and Drew read the New 52, Anderton 52.
Yeah.
So it all goes into the same pot at this point. So like, if you want it to be awesome, then maybe join it a high tier. If you just want to be like, man, I love this. I love that you're doing this. Anything helps.
Yeah, it goes a long way to making us be able to make this awesome content. Cool.
And I was going to say also, if this does excite you, I need you to join the Discord and let us know that you're excited about it.
Please, yes. The Discord links are in the show notes. The Patreon links are in the show notes. Social media in the show notes.
It's all in the show notes.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been it, though. We're super excited, and we hope you're excited to come along with us. Until then, we'll see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Bye. The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.